So it's great to begin kind of a new conversation around theology, this idea of tangible theology. I think it's one of the most common kind of conversations that church members have with their clergy, with their pastors. Like, okay, thanks for explaining this scripture, or, you know, thanks for helping us kind of unpack this particular story, but how exactly is this meant to apply to our personal lives? How do we take this sort of core belief and translate that into something that we can really kind of see and hold and touch as we live out our daily lives? And so much of kind of what we do is kind of study and read theology and try as best as we can to sort of communicate that in a way that evokes and provokes your imagination, right? Because really the study of theology is just the study of the nature of God and the nature of humanity, the nature of religion. And for Christians, then, it's kind of the study of the Bible, right? That's where we believe that God reveals who he is to us. But oftentimes, we can kind of go to the Bible and hope to find something that is meaningful for us, rather than to kind of go to the Bible and find out the nature of who God actually is. I love the way George Orwell actually says this. He says, "No man ever believes that the Bible means what it says." He says, "No man ever believes that the Bible actually means what it says. We always are convinced that it says what we mean." Right? So we have these kind of blinders on sometimes when we go and we read the scriptures and we hope to find something that we needed to say for us. And so we're trying to take a slightly different approach during this series, which is to say that we're trying to go to scripture initially and let it speak into our understanding of who God is, because there are really faithful and helpful, thoughtful people who have studied the Bible over these last centuries and have really developed these foundational beliefs, these doctrines that help us to kind of navigate our life of faith. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at a few of those, and we're going to see how they kind of shape our actions, our decisions, and inform our imagination as we bring these timeless sort of wisdoms from Scripture into our tangible and daily lives. And so it seems right to begin that conversation then with this belief that everything and everyone is created by God. You know, and when we say that, right, what sort of images kind of come to your mind when you start thinking about God as the creator? You know, for me, one of my favorite things to do is to have time to sit down together, kind of uninterrupted and unencumbered for a family meal. And it's even better when somebody else makes the meal, and it's the best when somebody else cleans up the meal. That's right, hallelujah. I see you, Melvin. And so I imagine, when I think about God the Creator, I imagine sort of walking into a dining room, you know, and everything's sort of ready for you. You know, you can imagine kind of the plates and the silverware, everything's set out so nicely and symmetrically, and you kind of see the room, the atmosphere, the aura of the room. All the drinks have been poured, and everything's very thoughtfully kind of designed, and then the foods come out, you know, and you get this kind of course after course, dish after dish of something that kind of goes together, and it sort of tells a story that kind of leads to just this overwhelming sense of satisfaction, you know. Maybe for you, it's something more like a hotel or like an Airbnb, you know, that you walk into, and you just know from the time that you step foot in that room that somebody has been there and very thoughtfully prepared that space for you. Maybe all the linens are really nicely laid out, and everything's nicely pressed. And again, there's sort of a symmetry. You don't have to fight over who's going to have the lumpy pillow and who's not. Like, they're both just sort of right there and ready for you. The soaps have all been kind of arranged, and for some reason, one of them is a shell. You know, and you're just like, man, I set my bag down, and you just kind of like can flop down on the bed, and you just kind of know, like, man, this is going to be a good, it's going to be a good stay, right? And I think when that happens, right, when that really hits home for us, that we're in a space that's been thoughtfully created for us, it's been prepared in advance for us, right? It's almost spontaneous that this emotion of gratitude comes out, right? And without really even trying to, right? We might thank the hostess, or we might thank the waiter at a restaurant for that incredible meal, or we might want to leave a review online to help point people towards this space. It just evokes this emotion of gratitude, how much that we appreciate it, you know. And so when the scriptures begin to speak about this God as the creator, those are the kind of images that really come to my mind. And creativity for us is really so important, I feel like, in our culture, but it's a very kind of fluid word. We use creativity to mean a lot of different things, and we talk about very high, lofty forms of creativity. You know, we talk about the artist who creates this beautiful sort of symphony. We talk about the cook who creates this incredible, you know, meal for us. And we also talk about the barista who creates this beautiful cappuccino for us, you know, and this incredible kind of experience. Or you think about the family that creates a wonderful lawn kind of space, this outdoor experience. So we use this term in a lot of different ways. Describe the activity of a lot of different kind of people. But in the Bible, the word create is only used for one reason. And it's only used to describe one thing. And that's when God creates out of nothing. Right? The word for that is used, God creates by bringing something into being out of nothing. It's on the very first page, it's in the first sentence of the scriptures, and it's carried out through the rest of the Bible. I would encourage you to do this word study. It's really, really helpful. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? God is doing a lot on page one of the Bible. We're told that the wild wasteland, this sort of environment that is really chaotic and sort of stormy, it's watery, and there's a darkness to the depth of it, and the Spirit of God is hovering over this space, waiting to create into it. And God creates, and he separates, and he names, and he fills, and he decides what is good and what is bad. And God is doing all of this work by speaking some sort of word that brings into existence all of God's desires, kind of like a king or a ruler who tells his servants to go and do something, right? And as the pinnacle of all this work, God creates humans. And these are no ordinary creations, right? Humans will be similar to the rest of creation in the way that we are fruitful and we multiply and we fill the empty space of the earth, but we're very different from all the rest of creation because we're made in the image of God, after God's likeness, to rule creation as image bearers, kind of united as this one family, right? And this idea that God then creates out of the darkness, out of the nothingness, that God takes things that didn't exist before and makes something brand new, it doesn't just apply to the first couple pages of Genesis. The writers of the scriptures want us to see how this continues to happen again and again, and it happens every single time there's new life in this world. God creates by bringing something into being out of nothing, including your life. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You created my soul. I didn't exist before this. I had a definite beginning. You knit my body together in my mother's womb. Right? This creative act of bringing something out of nothing doesn't just touch the edges of our universe or the animals in the ocean. It touches your very life, right? Jesus speaks of this heavenly Father, this creator, who so intimately knows you that he knows the number of hairs on your head. The one who holds you to be the most valuable thing in all of creation. The scriptures tell us that God actually has marked these huge, massive things like time and space and government in such a way so that every human being would have an opportunity to reach out to him and perhaps to know him, although he is not far from any one of us. You see, God creates by bringing something into being out of nothing. And that even includes your life, but he doesn't stop there. He continues to create. He continues to create this new life in Christ. You see, if we go back again to the beginning of the story, by the end of Genesis chapter 11, we're meant to see this good world. Right, this very good world that has very good humans in total rebellion against God and against each other. And the new normal, instead of one united family as image bearers, ruling and reigning on God's behalf, stewarding creation, right now separation and violence, mistrust, and generations of families who have been torn apart by building their own kingdoms become the new normal. We see God who tried everything up to this point, including putting a dramatic end to evil through the flood. But none of it has worked. The human heart is still corrupt, and evil still lurks around the edges, trying to pull creation back into chaos and darkness. And you know, it can be really easy, I think, to read the sort of the beginning of the Bible, to look at it as a book of history and a book of theology, right? And end up sort of arguing about whether certain events happened and how long they happened for and whether this event really occurred and was it regional or was it global. And we get into the apologetics of it all, and that's a really good conversation for us to sort of have. The Bible is a very historical document. It gives us great theology. What we miss in those arguments or those debates oftentimes is how our story is connected to God's bigger story. See, we're meant to see that everything in creation is in an active state of rebellion against God. And that active state of rebellion, the way that we imagine it, is meant to be wide enough that it actually touches my life and your life. In Ephesians 2, this is how it begins, right? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. You were that wild wasteland. You were that dark water that seemed endless, that was just chaotic. Right? It says you were dead in your transgressions and sin. By the time the end of Genesis 11 happens, the only thing that's untouched by sin, the only good thing left in this world, is God's desire to restore it all. We were laying dead in the ruin, the void of nothingness. Not the least ray of God's light or life moving within us from when God originally created us. But we have a God who creates by bringing something into being out of nothing. And that includes the new life that we have in Christ. When Paul says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, he assumes that we have all of these stories front-loaded in our imagination. God, the one who creates out of nothing. See, the gospel for Paul is all about grace that is more than just an enrichment or an addition to what we already have. In other words, he's not saying, hey, God, I'm doing pretty well, but I just need a little bit of help. You know, I've got about 80% or so together, and so if you could just give me the last 20% of your grace, then things will be fine, right? I'll do my bit, and then you do your bit, and then that's how it'll work, right? We'll have this sort of teamwork environment, but that's not the way God creates. See, God creates by bringing something into being out of nothing. Only God can change our human condition from death to life. I love the way Paul says this again in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to put it up here for us to see. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. It's just like Genesis 1 and 2, the new creation has come. The old has gone. It's no longer the wild wasteland. It's no longer the disconnection and the emptiness. It's a new creation. When God speaks, he creates a new universe inside of you. He replaces the universe that's filled with pain and fear and doubt and self-loathing, and he speaks a new universe into existence inside of you so that you have hope and love and compassion and joy. He speaks into you what you were always created to be. And it's by God's free and undeserved gift that he does this. It's a word that he has prepared and created outside of any human will or decision so that he alone would be the one who gets praise and glory and honor for your salvation. Yeah. So, that's the theology, right? Created by God. How does that become tangible in our lives? You know, I'm sure you're thinking about all sorts of things. I know I was, and this certainly has related in a lot of different ways to the way people understand issues about life and the way we interact with other people who are created in the image of God as well, right? The two things that kind of come to mind for me, and I would just put these on our hearts and our imagination, is number one, my life is intentional. Your life is intentional. Christians aren't just some part of creation. We are the center of God's new creation. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You are like an incredible recipe or a beautiful song that has been prepared by God, that has been created by God to be played, so that we can follow the recipe, so we can play the song and create something that reflects his good design. I love loosely quoting Martin Luther in this space, who said, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor certainly does. See, when we follow God's design for our lives, when we honor every human life as one created with intention by God, you and I become the tangible proof that something new can be created in this world. That tomorrow doesn't have to just be a repeat of yesterday, but that something new can emerge even in the midst of this darkness. Your life is intentional, and when you realize that, I think that gratitude arises effortlessly. Right? Like a beautiful meal or a well-prepared hotel room, right? Your Heavenly Father has created and has recreated your life purely by His grace. And focusing on that grace and that intention evokes gratitude. Right? God is not only there with you present to celebrate the good moments, the meaningful moments of your life. He has actually created them and prepared them just for you. And so we're never surprised when gratitude and beauty and meaning and order and compassion and love and truth show up in our lives in all sorts of unexpected people and through unexpected ways, because we worship a God who creates by bringing something into being out of nothing. And that includes all of the unique and incredible things that He has created just for you. I want to pray before we move forward. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being our Creator, for forming us with Your intention and care. Help us to recognize Your hand in our lives and to live as reflections of Your grace and creativity. May we honor every life as Your creation and embrace the new life that You have given us in Christ. We pray this in His name.